Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today here on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG, and we're online at kpcg.fm and have a live link at thetrumpet.com as well. What does it mean to repent, and who needs to repent, and is repentance necessary? Those are some logical questions when it comes to the topic of repentance, and thankfully the Bible gives us the answers to those questions. Let's look into the Bible to briefly answer those questions about repentance. First, what does it mean to repent? Well, we can start over in 1 John 3. If you have a Bible handy, you could get that out. We could look at these passages together. And we'll look at that one in a moment. Before we get to 1 John 3, let me read you a quote here. This is from our correspondence course. It's a free course at thetrumpet.com. It's called the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. And you can sign up for that for free at thetrumpet.com if you have not already. This quote is from Lesson 9. And it says, God tells us there is something we must do before he will apply the sacrifice of Christ to pay the penalty of our sins. We must demonstrate that we no longer wish to continue in the way of life that leads to eternal death. We do so by changing our way of living, and that change of direction is repentance. That's a very good definition there of what repentance is. Notice 1 John 3 and verse 4. It says, whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. The clear Bible definition of sin is what we just read there, that sin is the transgression of the law, and we sin when we break one of God's Ten Commandments. So if a person lies, that's a sin. Coveting is a sin. Adultery is a sin. Murder is a sin. Breaking the Sabbath day is a sin. Idolatry is a sin. Taking God's name in vain is a sin. And so on and so forth. Any one of the Ten Commandments that is broken is a sin. And that's what 1 John 3 and verse 4 tells us. And that's what we're striving to repent of, is breaking the law. And as we read there from the correspondence course, it's a change of direction. It's a change of direction, living a way that is now in harmony and in obedience to God's laws. Jesus Christ explained the deeper spiritual dimension of the law. And notice this in Matthew 5. He gets into more specifics about the thought process that we have to be careful of, because sin begins in the mind. It's not just an action or a lack of an action. There's a thought that's behind it very often. And notice this in Matthew 5, verses 27 through 30. Jesus Christ explaining more about the law of God here. He said, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, you shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. You see, it's more than just the act. It's the thought process. It's the thought that starts that act that has to be stopped and can't continue. And as Christ says, if a person's lusting in the mind there and rolling those thoughts around and thinking on those things and being lustful, then it's already been committed. That sin's been committed in the heart. So that's more depth than just, you know, the physical act. He continues in verse 29 and he says, if your right eye offend you, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is profitable for you that one of your members should perish and not that your whole body should be cast into hell. Talking about eternal death. Verse 30, and if your right hand offend you, cut it off and cast it from you, for it is profitable for you that one of your members should perish and not that your whole body should be cast into hell. And so this really ties in very much with what we quoted there from the correspondence course about the way of life and the direction that we're going. Christ is clear here in saying that, look, if there's a problem with, say, lusting, then pluck out your right eye. Now, again, obviously, what he's getting at there is get away from the problem. Stop looking at the thing that's bad. We don't want to literally pluck our eyeball out, but get away from the problem, whatever's causing it. If it's looking at something that shouldn't be looked at, then stop looking at it and stop the wrong thoughts. And that's repentance when somebody does that. If they have a problem with it and they say, I'm going to get as far away from that as I can and I'm going to go the other direction. Well, that's repentance. And so Christ, you know, taught more about the law and expounded upon it and brought out that spiritual component. You know, a person might think they have not sinned because they haven't actually committed, you know, a certain act. But Christ showed that the attitude is very important, what's going on in the mind, the thinking. A person can certainly sin in their mind and their thoughts. Christ admonishes all of us to get away from sinful temptations, protect our minds, and getting away from those temptations is a way of repenting and changing. It's going a different direction. And that is, a change of life and a change of intent and motive and action. So there's a lot of depth to that. The correspondence course, again, these quotes all come from lesson 9 today. It says, to repent of sin, then, actually means to change. It is a total change of mind and heart and direction of life from the way of self-indulgence and get to the way of give. We turn from selfishness to selflessness. To repent is to change our whole past attitude and life apart from God to a new God-centered way of life. When we begin to demonstrate our heartfelt desire to change and we ask God to forgive our past way of life, he applies the sacrifice of Christ on our behalf. We are then forgiven and freed from the guilt and penalty of our past sins. The penalty of eternal death no longer hangs over our heads. So I think we can see a little bit here. And again, we're just getting into the sort of the high spots. There's a lot more we can study into, but for the purpose of this program, and we're discussing repentance. And what repentance is again, it's to change. It's to turn from, as it says, selfishness to selflessness. Change our whole past attitude and life apart from God and really follow God's laws and then ask for forgiveness for those past sins. We can move forward. So who needs to repent and change? Who's included in this group that needs repentance and change? Well, again, we go to the Bible for the answer. And we find this in Romans 3 and verse 23. Romans 3 and verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that is very straightforward. Only Jesus Christ lived a sinless human life. He was perfect and had to be our perfect Savior. But all other humans, and that includes you, that includes me, need to repent. And it's a process that we must keep working at. And then where we examine ourselves and see where we, you know, don't measure up to God's law, and then we need to make changes. Notice James 1, verses 22 through 25. This gives us really good indication of what we need to be doing and how we need to be changing. Verse 22, it says, but be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and he goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So as we see from James 1 here, we must be continually looking into the perfect law of liberty. We can't just take a quick peek and then move on and forget what manner of person we are. We've got to keep looking into that spiritual mirror. And we're looking at the law of God, and we're saying, well, the law of God says we are to do this, and then examine ourselves. Are we doing that? And if not, or if not fully, you know, then there needs to be change and repentance. So it's a process. And when we aren't following God's laws we should, then that's when we need to repent. And that means we ask God's forgiveness, and then we ask for his help so that we can move forward and live according to that perfect law of God. So it's a change, and it's a moving forward, and it's going in the right direction and not going in the wrong direction anymore. And everybody needs to do that, because as it says there in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if you're feeling kind of bad that you might need to repent, well, you're in the same boat with everybody. Well, everybody needs this process and this growing and this changing, and it's a lifelong process. Why is it necessary? Why is repentance something that we need to do? Well, notice Acts 2, and we'll start in verse 21 and pick up a few verses here. Verse 21, and it shall come to pass, this is Peter speaking here, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call in the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, this is about salvation. And then notice down further, verse 37. Now when they heard this, so the multitude there had heard this message, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? So they knew there was something that they had to do. They knew it wasn't just enough to call on the name of the Lord and, you know, say that they believed in Jesus. They knew there was something they needed to do, so they asked that great question there. Well, what should we do? Verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's why we have to repent. We have to repent and be baptized, because our sins need to be forgiven. And then we need the power of God's Spirit to go forward and obey God. Verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. God has to call people. Verse 40, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And there's a lot of evil in society, and we need to really change and come out of it and make sure we're not going the way of society, because there are so many sins and problems, and we want to be forgiven of sin, and we want to be able to move forward and to eventually be part of the kingdom and family of God. Verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly. Notice what they did after being baptized. They didn't just go back and live how they lived before. They lived a different way. Verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. See, they were living by every word of God, striving to do that. That's what the apostles were teaching. And in breaking of bread and in prayers. So they changed. They said, men and brethren, what should we do? You know, and Peter said, you need to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And they did, and then they continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. They went forward in obeying God and in doing God's work, and they had really repented and changed. And of course, then they would have to continue to grow and change, and there's repentance needed there too, but they really did change their life direction and had a major repentance at that time. And it's something that we all need to do if we are going to be saved. If we're going to be given the gift of salvation, there has to be repentance and there has to be change. And then we do have to be obeying God and growing. Notice this quote. This again from Lesson 9 of our correspondence course, which is free at thetrumpet.com. And it gets into a lot more detail about this particular subject of repentance. We don't have time to cover all the ins and outs of it, but it's a very important study. And it gives you all the scriptures to look at to make sure that you understand it according to God's word. But again, this quote here from Lesson 9, it says, the original words in the Hebrew and Greek from which repent and repentance are translated mean to turn, to change direction. And we just saw that in Acts 2. That's what those people did. True repentance is exactly that, it says. It is a complete about-face from disobedience toward God to obedience, love, and cooperation with Him. See, it's a change of life. It's a change of direction. True repentance, the quote continues, is coming to a full realization that we have rebelled against our Maker, against His way and His righteous law. It means that we come to abhor our past sins and our self-willed, rebellious natures. See, it's not just a matter of what we've done. It's who we've been, how we've thought. We need to change from those things. It says we must truly be broken up and ready, with God's help, to quit sinning and rebelling and to submit to God with all our hearts and minds. See, it's like Christ explained, it's a matter of attitude as well, you know, getting away from those temptations, not looking at things that would cause us problems, changing what we, you know, look at or listen to, or, you know, the places we go if necessary, to really make a full repentance. It's a lifestyle change. It's a lifestyle change. And so, again, there's a lot more about repentance, and it's a really important topic. We all need to understand it and keep understanding it even more as we strive to grow and develop more of God's character. And this lesson 9 of the correspondence course is a great one that really gets into the depths of the Bible teaching on the topic of repentance. So today we just looked a little bit at what it means to repent, who needs to repent, and why repentance is necessary. And again, there's a lot more information about this in the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence course. We also have a free book at thetrumpet.com, Repentance Toward God. That's a good one to look at. How to Be an Overcomer. That's another one that's really important. And the Ten Commandments booklet also. Lots of material, and it's all free, and it's educational service. It's at thetrumpet.com. If you'd like to know more about this topic, please look up that information at thetrumpet.com. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live by Every Word. Thank you for spending some of your time with me today. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.